Turn to Luke 4. Just a passage of scripture on my heart here. You know, when we think about really the last 9 years, and just kind of going along with a lot of the testimonies that's been given here, just about, you know, basically the purpose for Christ's coming and why he came to this earth, and really in return for that, our purpose. I think we can find that, you know, in the life of Jesus. You know, when we do look for purpose, you know, a lot of people are talking about the meaning. What's the meaning of life? And I think Dad had mentioned that earlier, you know, about the world's search for meaning. And, you know, if we can, you know, if you're familiar with the catechisms, one of them, what's a man's the meaning, chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. I find those things useful. I don't know if you've read them or familiar with them at all, but I do find them useful just in helping set our direction. But yeah, we can follow our leading from the Lord and the life and the example that he set. And I love this passage of scripture, and we've read it often here, because it is that. It's when Christ, he's brought into the temple in his own hometown, Luke chapter 4, and beginning with, let's just start with verse 16 there, and I'll read that. It says, "And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. As his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written." So there's our setting. We have Christ entering into the temple, in the synagogue here. It's a synagogue. It doesn't really reference it as a temple. It talks about the synagogue. All right, so he's coming to this synagogue, and the people here are looking on him. They're looking for him for some word. They're looking for him for some teaching. I appreciate the good word this morning from our ministers here, and then also visiting ministers as well. I love to hear the word, right? I love to hear a word of encouragement. I think even we've seen that demonstrated in the book of Acts when some itinerant preacher, if you will, would come in. They would give them an opportunity, just as they gave opportunity for Paul to speak and say, you know, give us a word, say on. And they would stand up and they would always encourage the saints. Why? Because they knew, and we know this morning, that this is a body ministry, right? And even though we may go to different churches and we may worship in different places, there's only one body, right? This is a many-membered body. And so we've got to love the brethren. We've got to love the body of Christ, wherever we might be, whether we're in this country or, you know, in any other country. The gospel's for the whole world, isn't it? This gospel that we preach, we can't just preach an Americanized gospel. You know, it works everywhere. It works, in the poor towns of Mexico. I've been there. And, you know, Scotty, you'd be hard pressed to preach that prosperity gospel down there. Why? Because those people had nothing. But yet we would go into the cities and we would, call a meeting and the people would come together and we'd read the word of God and the interpreter would interpret back and forth. And the message was, look unto Jesus. Amen. Follow Jesus. Surrender our lives to Christ. And the folks responded there. Why? Because it wasn't based on come to Christ and get rich, or come to the Lord and have this, have that possession. It was just simply come unto Jesus because he is the answer to life problems. Amen. And even beyond that, it's not just this practical approach unto Jesus. Come to Jesus and it works out pretty well for you. Because we know that there are storms in our life. But yet we come to God because, number one, he is God. Right? He's God. Why do we come to the Lord? Why do we serve the Lord? Well, my first response is because he's God. I mean, because he's the creator of all things, because he's the one that spoke the world into the existence, because he's the one that gave us breath to breathe and life. And in him, as Paul told the people there in Greece or in Athens, in him we live and move and have our being. Amen. So this gospel that we preach can be preached in the U.S. of A. It can be preached in the little villages of Mexico. It can be preached over there in the towns of Africa or the Ukraine or behind the what used to be called the Iron Curtain, as we were looking at the life of Brother Edwards not long ago. And this gospel can be preached there. Why? Because Jesus is the answer no matter what country you're from. Amen. As Marion that was sharing this morning about our answers to our life problems, we're not going to find it Tuesday. Now, it can help. Don't get me wrong. Now, I want the righteous to prevail. I want godly leadership. I want the laws of our land to be pleasing unto the Lord. But ultimately, that's not the answer. Amen. Because, you know, if we wait long enough, it don't matter what party you belong to. If they're not serving the Lord, they're all going to drift out one way or the other. But when we keep our eyes on Jesus and realizing that his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. All right, so Jesus has been brought into this place. He comes into this synagogue. He stands up to read, and he opens the book. And the Bible says here in verse 17, it says he found the place. So, you know, he didn't do that. All right, I grew up, you know, and Scotty, I know I didn't give you a warning, but that's the way it's done here where I grew up. You didn't get a warning. Right? You had to be, Dad knows this, you had to be ready to go. Be instant in season and out of season. If you was a preacher of the word and you go into a service, you better be ready to go at all times. If not, you're just carnal. Any other preachers in here this morning? I went to one service one time. We was in a tent meeting down in North Carolina, and they were preaching. And the guy's just preaching. I mean, he's preaching. Well, y'all met him. His brother Free. He came here. He was preaching. And the Spirit of the Lord's moving. And he just ran by and then tagged somebody and handed them the mic. And I mean, that guy got up and he started preaching and he's preaching and he's tearing it up. And I'm like, oh Lord, don't give me that mic. And so I was just kind of hiding down behind the pew, but you had to be ready to go at all times. And so when the Spirit calls and when the Spirit moves, be instant in season and out of season. Amen. Be ready to go at all times. Well, Jesus here is brought into the synagogue. He opens and he begins to read. He found the place. He goes to Isaiah and he begins to read and he says these words. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me. How many is thankful for an anointing? Amen. He has anointed me to preach. Amen. We're talking about anointing this morning. Amen. God, give us an anointing. What does it mean? Just like the oil that was poured from on Aaron and it began to run down and go through his beard and all the way down to his garments. God, give us that anointing. Amen. That's what the scripture says. You have an unction from the Holy One. What does that mean? It means you have an anointing. God, give us an anointing to preach your word. God, let us not just be man's thoughts or man's ideas, God, but let us be led of the Spirit. And so it says, the Spirit, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel. Preach the gospel to who? Well, to the poor. Amen. Jesus didn't go to the rich. I mean, he didn't go, as he put it in one place, he says, I didn't come to those that were whole. Now, of course, we know this morning that they were all sick. But yet there were those that were crying out. There were those that were calling out to God and saying, save us. There were of the congregations of the crowds that followed Jesus, whether it be, and we've been looking at that over the last few Sundays, up into the thousands, literally 5 to 10 to even 15,000 people following around this teacher. And so there were those, but then there were those in that crowd that knew they were sick. They knew they had a need. They knew that they needed something. And so they were looking for Messiah and they were crying out, Jehovah, save us. I tend to think it was just different crowds. You know, we always often think about the crowd there when Jesus rode in on the donkey and how fickle they were, because on one day they're saying, save us. And the next day, they're saying, crucify him. I tend to think it was just different ones. It was just great crowds. There was one that was crying out for salvation. There was one that was crying out to crucify him. And there was others that was trying to trap Jesus. And so there were all those in those great numbers. And so here we find him that he says, he came to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives. I'm going to read that again. To preach deliverance to the captives. Don't you love that? Because I don't know. I do know. I was one of those. And I know there's those in our midst here this morning that fit this same category. Amen. But Jesus came to preach deliverance to those that were captive. He came to set the captive free, right? Amen. And he says to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Amen. Why did Jesus come to this earth? Right here we have it. As he stood up there and he opened the book and it fell open to Isaiah, he found the place. He began to read. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to do these things. And it says this, and I love this because just picture this in your mind. He finished reading. Verse 20 says, and he closed the book and he gave it again to the minister and he sat down. He said all the eyes of them all were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And there was something that had gripped them. There was something that had gotten their attention. As they later testify, they had never heard it that way before. I mean, never a man had spoke like this. Even the soldiers that came to Jesus went away saying that, didn't they? They said, we've never heard it that way before. He spoke with one having authority. He spoke with one power. And so when he closed the book and he went and sat down, their eyes just follow him. They know there's more coming. There's an expectation there. They know he's got something else to say. This isn't the end of it. And so their eyes are looking on, they're fastened on him. Man, now as a preacher, that's what you want, right? Terrible thing to be preaching, no one's listening. Amen. A terrible thing to be speaking and you're being ignored. I'm not saying that to your shame this morning. You guys are looking at me. But when Jesus spoke, he could not be ignored. Man, his words hit the mark. His words, whether it be responses as we've been looking at over the last few Sundays when he would respond a question with a question, or he would respond to someone's question with the real issue that was involved there. I mean, why? Because he knew the heart of man. He could look on the heart, the intention. And so here he finally says, and they were fastened on him, and he began to say unto them, this is the day of salvation. Right now is the accepted time. It's almost like the prophet there, I guess it was David that spoke those words that had, he looked down through history and he began, now I know we use that verse there with respect to bringing people to salvation. This is a day of salvation. Get saved today. But somehow the prophet was able to look down through time and he saw one that would come. He saw one that would come and set the captive free. He saw one that would come and heal those that were bruised. He saw one that would come and open the blinded eyes. And when he saw that vision and he saw that one, he said, this is the day of salvation. Right now is the accepted time. Why? Because he knew that the deliverer was coming. Their salvation was coming. This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? Amen. How many times did that happen? They were just, even the Pharisees later on, we looked at it, I think maybe last Sunday, as they said, we know who he is. That's Joseph's son. How can he give us bread to eat? How can he give us his body and give us his blood? That's Joseph's son. We know where he's from. We saw where he grew up. He can't be the one. Amen. But Jesus said, this is my body, take and eat it. This is my blood, drink it and live. Believe on me. Follow me. Surrender unto me. Amen. So as we, you know, we do celebrate these 9 years and we thank God for them and, we just pray, it is our desire this morning that we keep our eyes on the mission. Amen. That we keep our eyes on the purpose of the church. Because there have been so many, and I don't want to stand up here this morning, you know, I don't like to hear it often, you know, it's like every preacher thinks he's the only one preaching the truth, right? Every preacher thinks he's the only one standing up. There's no one else standing up. We all Elijah. Lord, they've all backslid. You've only got me left. And they're trying to kill me. No, that's not true, is it? Amen? Because just as Elijah thought the same thing, the Lord spoke to him and said, I've got, 10,000 that hadn't bowed a knee to Baal? Amen. I'm thankful this morning to be in this small group of people that hasn't bowed the knee to Baal. Amen. That are still saying Jesus is the only way. They're still saying that we're not going to compromise. I mean, we're not going to give in to the world. We're not going to give in to the latest hand-waving thing out there, whatever it is. Whatever it is everybody's upset about today, I forgot. What is today anyway? What are we mad about today? I forget. We're not giving in to that, are we? But we're going to keep our eyes on Jesus. We're going to show his love. We're going to show his compassion. Amen. Realizing that, you know, one thing that we're at that Jesus wasn't at is the fact that we know where we came from in a sense that we were just like them. We were sinners just like they were. And so what do we have that wasn't given to us? What do we have this morning? I mean, just as when that woman was brought to Jesus there, caught in the very act of adultery, and they cast her at his feet and said, the law says, and Jesus, he just ignored him. Went over and started drawing in the sand. And they kept on. The law of Moses says she's got to die. What do you say, Lord? Master, teacher, whatever. He's just drawing. I don't know what he was drawing. I have no idea. Do y'all know? I've heard opinions. I guess it really doesn't matter, does it? He's just drawing in the sand. I wish somebody had a cell phone. They would have took a picture of it. I know they would. We'd have had it. But here's Jesus drawing in the sand. He stooped. I can't stoop. I'm too old. My knees are bad. But Jesus stooped and the law says she's got to die. And they were right. It did. But it wasn't just her. It was the man too. Where was he at? But Jesus turned and looked and said, now he does give an answer. I'm going R.C. Sproul on you here. He does give an answer. Let it be done according to the law of Moses. Deuteronomy 22:22, I think it was. She should be stoned. Let it be done. Now, he didn't say that, but that's kind of, we can kind of insinuate that because, but then he says this, he says, ye that without sin, cast the first stone. Wow. Ye that are without sin. And so there's that multitude, that crowd gathered together, that they've thrown that woman there in the midst, and they're ready to stone her. All they got to do, you know, Jesus, I'm not sure how like the Roman law would work with that, nor how they could carry out that penalty according to their laws, because Roman law wouldn't really allow you to kill this woman for adultery. But the Jewish law said she would die, so maybe, you know, it's them, their effort to trap Jesus. He says, yeah. But ye that are without sin, cast the first stone. Of course, you and I know there was only one there that was without sin. Now, it says this, it says that starting from the oldest to the youngest, kind of strange, isn't it? Like, why would that be there? It's there for a purpose. It's not just filler. Starting from the oldest to the youngest, the Bible says their conscience condemned them, and they begin to drop their stones and walk away. I wonder why the oldest first. I've often wondered that. And I think the older I get, I understand why. Because when you're young, I can remember as a young Christian especially, there was a lot of things I was willing to die for. I'd fight you on it. And it seems like, I like the way I think it was Swindoll I heard him say one time. He said, the older I get, the less things I find I'm willing to die over. Why? Because we realize that there's some things that really aren't that important. Now, there are some essentials. And you guys that heard us preach long enough here know what we believe those essentials to be. There are some things that we will not back up on. There are some things, as we started our service this morning, of those things that are most surely believed among us. And so from the oldest to the youngest, and maybe once the young men saw the old men begin to drop the stones and walk away, those young men that were so willing and so quick to pick up a stone and say, I'm going to do what he does. He's my elder. He must be right. And after they saw those elders begin to drop away because their conscience were condemned, maybe they went around with their head down. Because now here's those young men that were so confident at 5 minutes before. The fact that guy just dropped his rock and walked away meant that he was not without sin. And so under condemnation, they disappear. One right after another. Last one. Last young man drops his rock and walks away. Jesus looks at her and says, woman, where are thy accusers? Now, remember what this woman had done. She was caught in the very act of adultery. There's victims there, right? There's a wife somewhere or a husband that's been offended. So let's not pretend this woman is just, you know, all that. Maybe this man had children. What about those poor children now? And so we've got a lot of reasons to stand back and say, puh, she needs to be stoned. Because she's offended some people. She's hurt some innocent people. But let's follow the Lord. Let's, because he says, so he said, woman, where are thy accusers? She said, Lord, I have none. He said, neither do I condemn thee. Go thy way and sin no more. Amen. He showed her compassion. I guess as we're looking in our life and our calling and our purpose, if there's one thing that we've got that we need to show to this generation, it's compassion. Now, I'm not talking about acceptance. You can leave that out there. I'm not preaching acceptance this morning. Try to avoid that. But I'm talking about compassion. Of those that have been forgiven of much, realizing that the world needs forgiveness. That woman that had offended maybe some family, some other wife, or maybe her own husband. We're not given her name and we don't really know her history. But Jesus showed her that there was a lot around standing around. She's just trash. She's put a red letter A on her. She is. I always flinch when I hear somebody say that. They're just garbage. They're trash. Why do I do that? Because I know if not for the goodness of the Lord, I'd be trailer trash. Man, I'd be the one in the gutter. I'd be the one in the street. I'd be the addict. I'd be the one whose life was in a mess. He showed her compassion. Go your way and sin no more. Don't you just love divine encounters this morning? Compassion without compromise. Can we say that? Man, we can show compassion, but Jesus went on, he says, go that way and sin no more. There's a reason he was called a friend of sinners, wasn't it? I guess you could, you know, he didn't really go out and look for them. They kind of came to him, didn't they? So instead of going around, I was listening to an old hymn song this past week. I heard somebody preaching a message, and they quoted this song, and it's the song 1910, "Oh Great Savior." Anybody ever heard that one? It starts this: "Jesus, what a friend for sinners." Jesus, what a friend for sinners. Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends may fail me. Foes assail me. He, my Savior, makes me whole. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Hallelujah. What a friend. And when I looked at that hymn, I went back and was looking at the words of it. And I was taken by the phrase, a friend for sinners. And that's a little subtle difference, but it makes sense, doesn't it? Really, it's kind of a long way. Jesus was called a friend of sinners, but it was by those that were accusing him and kind of trying to libel him, if you will. But I like that, friend for sinners. Because it lets us know that he just wasn't hanging out with them. Just hanging out with the ungodly, just to be doing it. Now, in the Old Testament times, when the clean got next to the clean became unclean. But now in Christ Jesus, we find the unclean becoming next to the clean, and the unclean leave clean. Now, it's not through osmosis, not just by being around them, right? I used to have an English teacher used to tell us that all the time. You're not going to learn this through osmosis. And you know what? He was right, because I didn't learn it just by being in the room. I had to get into the book. Man, I had to, as Brother Marion was said, I had to do the surrendering. And those that would surrender their lives unto Jesus, those that would follow him, he says, come after me. Come, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Come, follow me. Pursue. That's the word come there. There's a whole lot involved there. It's a following word. And so he wasn't just saying, come here now, let me lay hands on you and I'll fix everything. No, he's saying, come after me. Come follow me. Man, hear my words. Hear my teaching. Man, draw nigh to me. Amen. Be at my feet. Be like Mary at the feet of Jesus, choosing the good part this morning. Amen. This afternoon. Amen. I'm going to stop. Let's stop. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word, God. Thank you for our time together this morning. God, we are so thankful for this great example that you've set for us, a compassionate Savior. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a friend. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend, God. You have been a friend to us. Lord, you have set the captive free. Lord, you have opened the blinded eyes. Father, you come for those that were bruised, the hurting, God, the lame, the sick. God, and you've come to set us free, to break the bonds of sin, God, that we might be free indeed. Thank you for that freedom that we have here today. God, let us never lose sight of our mission. God, but let us keep our eyes upon thee and follow our example. Lord, as we follow you, use us for your glory. God, direct our steps and we'll give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet this morning.